every week, so it's not that special, but I do love you. Open your Bibles, and we'll have it on the screen as well, to Romans 2, verse 6. This is not a normal Easter text, but I couldn't shake it all week, so that's what you get. All right? Romans 2, verse 6. Paul writes that God will repay each one according to his works. Life in the age to come, or eternal life, to those who are, by persistence in doing good, seek glory and honor and immortality, but wrath and anger to those who are self-seeking, who disobey the truth while obeying unrighteousness. There will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does what is good, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. This is God's word. So my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors, elders, bishops, popes, whatever word you want to use for church guy. And I do the majority of the teaching here at CLC with our other elders. So if you stick around long enough, you'll see other guys up here sharing the gospel. And so I'm one of those. And I am so excited and thankful that we have guests this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead today. Literally, he was dead, and then he was not dead anymore. So that's the good news. That's why I tucked in my shirt today. So, because of Easter. Oh, I didn't know that was such a big deal to you. Okay, like, I've been waiting 10 years for that punk to tuck in his shirt on Sunday. So that's the good news, okay, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And lots of implications for that event happening. But before I get to that good news, I have bad news. Braden makes fun of me for doing this every Easter, but I do it every Easter. And I have to tell you that you are going to die. Okay, that could be in 10 seconds from eggs in your breakfast or if you drank the water this morning. I assume Steph washed the fruit. But if she didn't, you could die. That could be in an hour. There might be a drunk driver on Thunderbird Road after this. That could be in a decade. Cancer, heart attack, a long life of bad lifestyle choices. Or that could be 50 years from now with your body just saying, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. But you are going to die. Thank you, Flint. Oh, hallelujah. That's bad news, y'all. Death is bad. Your heart is going to stop pumping, your brain is going to stop firing, and you're going to die. And well, that is the main problem that all human beings have to deal with, except for maybe a select few when Jesus returns. The main problem is death. There's other stuff out there besides death. Okay, conservatively, 250,000 people died last year in wars and conflicts and these sorts of things. 9 million people died in 2023 just because they didn't have enough food. 9 million people. Like the amount of food that we throw away, 9 million people are dying just because they don't have enough to eat. In the U.S. alone, over 1 million defenseless, vulnerable children were murdered in their womb. Okay, with governments and interest groups cheering these things on, around 50 million people are in legitimate slavery. Okay, not something in history books, but right now, 50 million people are enslaved. 7 million of those 50 are enslaved specifically for sex acts. Okay, 7 million people are dealing with that. Fueling that is pornography, which made $100 billion in 2024. $100 billion. There were 700,000 divorces in 2022. 600,000 children were abused in 2024. And of those 600,000, 2,000 of them died. Children were abused to the point of death in the United States. And with all of that, don't forget, you're going to die too. Happy Easter to you. All right, so that's, I know that's a lot of bad news to process on Sunday morning. And that's not to say that there aren't wonderful things going on. There's a wonderful thing going on. You guys wearing your colors today is wonderful. The food I ate last night is wonderful. The laughs I've had this week are wonderful and gifts from God. So I don't want you to think that, oh, just everything is terrible, but a lot is terrible. And that death thing is just always going on. And so it's into that bad news that I get to tell you good news. I get to tell you how to live forever. how to live forever. I get to tell you how through Jesus, his life and his death and his resurrection, his ascension to the Father's right hand, his giving of the Spirit and his promise to return, through all of that, you can be, Galatians 1:4, you can be delivered from, rescued from this present evil age into the age to come, into eternal life. You can be set free from all the ills of this age. So that includes your own sin. Be set free from that, the sins of others, which war, famine, all that hatred, everything I read earlier. And the way you're set free from those things ultimately is God's judgment on those things. God taking care of and dealing with those things, an event that the prophets call the day of the Lord. That's when everyone gets their comeuppance for deeds done in the body. And not only are you set free from all of those things, delivered from all of those things, you're also set free from this body of death. And you receive a body of life that never decays and it never breaks down in an event called the resurrection of the dead. Flint, I love the amens. He's fine. Even if you have babies in here, I love babies. We love babies. We need more babies, okay? We need more babies. So go home and make some after this. Married couples, go do that. All right, so that's the good news. There's going to be a great judgment on sin, on the things that cause all of these problems, and there's going to be a resurrection to eternal life for those who trust in the Messiah. So that's why Easter is such a big deal, because the resurrection tells us that's all true. It's not a fairy tale. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So that's where everything's headed. There's a great judgment on sin, a great reward for the righteous, resurrection in the coming age. So, do you want to know how to live forever? My mother-in-law shows my daughter princess movies. So I just in my head said, do you want to build a snowman? Do you want to live forever? This is where my brain's at this morning. Here's how to live forever. Okay, you ready? Romans 2. Verse we read, Paul says, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness, his restraint, and his patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Because of your hardened and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself when? In the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment is revealed. And in the verse we read to start, he will repay each one according to his works, life in the age to come, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, wrath and anger to those who are self-seeking and disobey the truth while obeying unrighteousness. So Romans 2, and really all of Romans, is a mixture of good news and bad news. All right, it's bad news for those with hardened and unrepentant hearts, verse 5. It's bad news for those who are self-seeking and disobey God's truth and obey unrighteousness, verse 8. And then it's bad for verses 3, 5, and 9. All those people are on a collision course with what Paul says is judgment, wrath, affliction, and distress. And that makes sense to you if you think about it. If God is good, and as evangelical Christians, we say that he is. If God is good and he loves his creation and he's committed to fixing it, he's got to bring judgment on it. Okay, so God's judgment is actually good news, right? If there's a bully in the playground, what does a good principal do? He gets the bully out of the playground. And then what do all the children in the playground do? They rejoice. Ding dong, the witch is dead, right? Judgment has come, and that's good news. A good sheriff arrests the meth dealers across the street from the daycare. And all the parents rejoice because judgment came on unrighteousness. Similar, the good God, when he removes sin and unrighteousness from the heavens and the earth, when that happens, the whole cosmos is going to rejoice. So the judgment of God on these things, all the list of things that I read to start, that's good news. It's not necessarily bad news. The problem is that we, you and me, and every human being to ever live, all of us have actually played the bully, or are actively playing the bully. All of us have cooked the meth, so to speak. Okay? And all of us have followed after our father Adam in sin and unrighteousness. No one escapes this. No one escapes what we have done. And therefore, when the principal or the sheriff or God comes to judge, they're coming for who? Coming for us, because they love what they have made. They love creation. They've got to bring judgment. Romans 6:23, just the start of it, says that the wages of sin, the payment of sin, the punishment for sin is death. So when God comes to judge and cast sin and unrighteousness into a lake of fire, who's that bad news for? All of us. All of us. Bully, meth dealer alike, all of us. But that's not the end of the story, and that's not the end of Paul's message here. He actually kept writing. So Romans 2, verse 3, he says, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? I'm like, well, I might have before Josh said all of that. Do you think you will escape God's judgment, or do you despise, and then he's going to describe the heart of God, the character of the God of Israel, the riches of his kindness, his restraint, and his patience. Not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. So the heart of God for sinful humanity is not immediate judgment. And it's not immediate wrath and affliction and distress and all the things that Paul has said. God is, in Paul's language, God is rich in kindness towards the bully. And he's rich in restraint towards the drug dealer. And he's rich in patience towards the sinner. That's the heart of God. This is what he is like. God actually loves what he has made. He loves the heavens. He loves the earth, even though they're broken and marred by sin. And he loves the humans who have caused the brokenness. Okay? Do you know that? John 3, he means it when he says it. God loves the world. This is the truth. God is actually kind, and God's actually merciful to the ungodly. And that kindness and that mercy of God, it plays out on two different sides of the same coin. One, the cross of Christ displays God's kindness and mercy. And two, the delay of the judgment says God is actually merciful. God is actually patient and full of restraint. So first, the cross is God's mercy. Titus 3, he says, for we too were once... And then he lists all the things in Romans 2 that says judgment's coming on these. He says, we too were once foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, detesting one another. That's, Paul says, all of us, we were like this. Verse 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. And when did that happen? Definitively. Like, it's always been that way, but at what event in history do we say that's the kindness of God for humanity? We say that was 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha on a cross when God died for the sins of the world. His love for mankind appeared, and when that happened, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, not that you haven't done works of righteousness, right? Everyone in here has probably done a kind deed, but if you're a murderer, you don't plead that to the judge. Hey, judge, I know I murdered people, but I also sat in the front row this morning so our guests could come in. The judge doesn't care. You murdered someone. So he saved us by mercy, not by works of righteousness that we had done, so that having been justified, when do you need to be justified in a courtroom and the day of judgment through the cross? We've been justified by his grace that we may become heirs with the hope of what? Not dying. Right? Eternal life, living forever. So God's kindness, God's mercy in the cross towards sinners, God's love for mankind provides us with justification for that courtroom and therefore a confident hope that on the last day we will be raised from the dead just as the Messiah was raised from the dead. Like, his life is the pattern. So Romans 6:23, I'm going to read the whole verse this time. I didn't read the whole thing the first time for dramatic effect. Okay. Now you read the whole thing. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Bummer. But the gift of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God is eternal life, living forever in Messiah Jesus our Lord. So the cross displays God's mercy for sinners. The cross is God's kindness on display for sinners. Paul's not blowing smoke. This is actually how God has acted towards humanity. And on the other side of that same coin of God's kindness and mercy is God's patience and God's delay in bringing the day of wrath and bringing what Romans 2 is talking about. So in 2 Peter 3, a passage that concerns the day of judgment and fire and affliction on the ungodly, the destruction of the ungodly, Peter writes, he says, the Lord does not delay his promise to cleanse the earth of wickedness and restore all things, make all things new. He does not delay his promise as some understand delay. Because all of us, if you've been tracking with the world, okay, been tracking with your Bibles, like, it seems like a delay to me. Seems like it's been a long time. But Peter says it's not a long time to God. God doesn't count slowness as we count slowness. But the reason God is slow in this, in our view, is because God is patient with you. not wanting any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance. So it's this kindness, the kindness of the giving of the Son on the cross and the kindness of the Son giving himself up, right? Jesus says, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord that I might also take it back up again. So the kindness of God in the cross and the kindness of God in the mercy of delaying wrath, that kindness, Romans 2 says, is meant to lead us to repentance. When we see that, when we hear that and put on display, that's to lead us away from sin and say, oh, I actually don't want to go that broad road that leads to death. I want to get on this narrow road that leads to life. It leads us to stop being self-seeking, right? We look at the cross, self-sacrificial on behalf of other people. It builds that in us. It leads us to stop disobeying the truth, stop obeying unrighteousness, and stop doing evil. It trains us, the cross trains, this is Titus 2, I didn't read it, but this is what Titus 2 says. The cross trains us to live not according to the patterns of this age. All those things are listed at the start, big ways and little ways. It trains us not to live according to the pattern of this age, but according to the pattern of the age to come. How things will be then in finality, and seek after the things that Paul says to seek after: glory and honor and immortality, living forever, not having a body of death, but a body of life. So this is the answer for how to live forever. This is the answer to how to get raised from the dead. This is the answer how to be delivered from this present evil age into the age to come. And the reason that Paul can say this with such confidence, because Paul's a confident guy. If you read his letters, you're like, you're pretty sure of all this, aren't you, man? The reason Paul can say this with such confidence is because he met the guy who actually did these things. All right? It was on a road. It's kind of weird. We'll pick up that story next week. Actually, we'll come back into the book of Acts. But Paul met Jesus, and Jesus was a guy who sought glory and honor and immortality. He lived this way, and then Jesus got raised from the dead. So Paul knows that it works. Jesus, for Paul, is both the blueprint of how to live forever, and Jesus is the guarantee of how to live forever. Jesus is the reason that Paul can write Romans 2, and we can all go, yeah, I think that's true. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. The way Jesus lived and died led to his own resurrection. Therefore, he's the blueprint for our own resurrection. Jesus is the blueprint for how to live forever. And living a life that's seeking glory, honor, and immortality, wholly given over to God, loving God and loving other people, that's what Jesus is doing. He's seeking glory, honor, immortality. And in his seeking of these things, God gave it to him. Right? That's what Jesus teaches. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things added to you. So Philippians 2, this is how we know this is what happened in the story. Philippians 2, Paul again says that Messiah Jesus, that the King of Israel, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant or slave, all right? Taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then Paul says, for this reason, okay, for this reason, because he was persistent in honoring his Father in all things, in doing good and seeking glory and honor and immortality, for this reason, God highly exalted him. God not only pulled up Jesus out of the grave, but also set him on the throne next to him, and will set him on his own throne when he comes. God raised him from the dead because he did what? He does the thing that Romans 2 said. Sought glory, honor, and immortality. So Jesus got what he sought. He went after it, and God gave it to him. So this is what Jesus is getting at. John 13 and 14, we won't go through it, but just won't read it. But in this section, Jesus has spoken about living and losing his life in this age and living to gain it in the age to come. He's spoken about how his cross will both glorify the Son of Man and the Father. He's taught how through his kindness and mercy in the cross, God will draw all men to himself, how the cross is the way that people walk in the light as opposed to walking in the darkness of this age. And then as an example, what does Jesus do? He starts to wash their feet, right? This is all where this is happening. And then he tells them that this, going low, serving others in this way, it leads to blessing. If you imitate him in self-sacrifice, you will be blessed. And then John 14:6, Jesus famously tells the disciples, I'm the way, right? He's like, I'm the path. I'm the model. I'm the way that this works. You do what I did, seeking glory, honor, immortality, to love and obey my Father, that leads to blessing. So it's that kind of life, and it's that kind of death that God honors with resurrection. That's what Philippians 2 says. Therefore, God highly exalted. Therefore, God raised him from the dead, which is what Romans 2 is getting at. Romans 2, verse 7, he says, God will repay each one according to his works, life in the age to come. Eternal life to those who, what? By persistence in doing good, seek glory and honor and immortality. But wrath and anger to those who are not washing feet, not laying down their lives, but are self-seeking. So if we want to be raised from the dead, like Jesus was on that day 2,000-ish years ago, if we want to be raised from the dead like Jesus, we got to walk like Jesus and we got to die like Jesus. Paul will say the same things later in Romans 6. If you want to be raised like the Messiah, you got to live and die like the Messiah. Romans 6, 3 and 5, he says, are you unaware? Because he's got a group that's not living according to these ways. They say they are, but they're not. He says, are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Messiah Jesus, meaning we all of us who took on his name, pledged allegiance to him, are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into him were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as the Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, right, if we've lived and died like him, seeking glory, honor, and immortality, if we are united with him in that way, we will certainly also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. So Jesus is the blueprint. His life and his death are the way that lead to life. He's the way that leads to living forever. And at his resurrection that we celebrate every Sunday here, okay, like if we have a sermon that doesn't talk about the resurrection of the dead, it was a weird Sunday at CLC. Okay, we do it every Sunday, but especially on Easter, the resurrection of Jesus not only shows that he's the blueprint, but it also is the guarantee that it actually works. That Paul's not blowing smoke, we're not blowing smoke. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 23, Paul again says, the truth is that the Messiah, who lived the sort of life and died the sort of death, described in John 13 and 14, described in Philippians 2 and Romans 2, the Messiah has been raised from death as the guarantee that those who sleep in death, that those who die, putting their faith in the Messiah and have set their aim to imitate his life and his death as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised. And we know it works because there's an empty tomb. God raised Jesus from the dead, and this is proof to us that the promises are true. He is going to cleanse and judge the heavens and the earth. And every statistic that I read will just be a memory. Maybe those get wiped out too. I don't know. Every tear gets wiped away. So he's going to do that, and he's going to raise the dead. All who trust in his mercy and kindness, right? Titus 3, he saved us, not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy. All who trust in his cross and resurrection, all who repent of their sins, all who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, they will be raised just as he did. Robert, if you would come help us, please, whenever you're ready. Romans 5, 8 and 10, Paul brings it all together. He says that God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us. So if you're a sinner, good news. How much more then, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved, not just by his cross and death, but by his life? Okay? This is how you live forever. This is it. This is how you're delivered from the present evil age. And it's news like this that you gotta believe. You gotta trust in. Not just like mentally assent to, like I know I learned that. I know it up here, but you actually have to live your life in this way, relying on these things. And on some days, it's really easy to believe that the future looks like the things described here. Most Fridays and Tuesdays, Stoney cooks me food. And sometimes dessert. And on those days, like, man, this is really easy to believe that this is the future of the planet. Eating and drinking and laughing. Like, this is where everything's going. It's easy to believe the gospel. But on other days, okay, when my sinful flesh is, like, winning, okay? Or on other days when you see any of these statistics, anything's going on, big ways, little ways, it's, like, hard to believe that, man, is it really going to get fixed? Or is this just how things are? So on those days, I need the community of the saints. I need the church. I need to be around people who remind me these things are true. Okay, who remind me that, hey, God did raise Jesus from the dead. Therefore, fill in the blank. Therefore, keep going. So if you're here this morning and one, you're not a believer at all, like you have questions, you've never heard this stuff before, or you've heard it before and you just think it's garbage, and you showed up today because you're a white person in the Midwest and this is what we do on Easter Sunday, okay? We want you to believe in this and trust in this good news so you can live forever. So if you have questions about this, you want to know more, if the members of Christian Life Church, if you could just raise your hand, if you're a member of CLC, talk to these people. They can tell you, here's what this is about, here's what it means to follow Jesus, here's what it means to trust in Him, all this stuff, or talk to me or any of our other elders, okay? That's one. And then two, if you are a believer, but you're not committed to a family of other believers who can encourage you in these things and help you stay on this narrow path that leads to life, that can help you persist in doing good, help you persist in seeking after immortality, find one. It doesn't have to be this one. This is my favorite one. I would recommend it. It doesn't have to be this one, but join yourself to other believers, meet regularly, eat food, read the scripture, and then live forever. Okay? So let me pray for...